Welcome again.
What episode is this?
This is episode 8.
Jesus Christ.
And we have a special guest with us today.
We do.
Hello.
A mystery.
Yes. Would you care to be known by your secret name or your real name?
I guess 10 guesses wouldn't really work since you guys are both sitting here with me.
Yeah.
Jennifer, a.k.a. J-Mo.
Yay!
Yes.
You've pierced the veil of internet secrecy.
You've come behind the curtain.
Hooray.
This is a very special episode with capitalizations.
Yes, why?
Because
we are recording live from a bar. Our favorite bar, Bender's in San Francisco.
Yep.
And we are all drinking beer.
And it is Tuesday afternoon when most people are at work. And that's what we're doing, and we're owning it.
Yeah, we pretty much have the bar to ourselves.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah.
This unemployment thing ain't half bad.
I'm newly among the ranks.
Yep.
Yes.
So, jobless loser and also idiot this afternoon.
Oh.
I wouldn't
be so hard.
But maybe that's why I'm jobless.
Yes. Hello to Jennifer, who got fired for leaving her wallet in inappropriate places.
And thank you to City Lights Bookstore, who didn't steal my $11.
Awesome.
Yes,
yeah, that was excellent.
They're a good bunch of beatniks over there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, anyways, for all of you listening at work, welcome.
Yes. You should do a cheers.
Cheers. Hooray.
Haha, you suckers.
So I guess the topic of our
making
of
your
our show,
rent and your mortgage payments.
Yeah.
I pity you.
I do too a little. But our topic today is unemployment.
Yes.
And the many pleasures and pitfalls of unemployment.
Yes.
So, what should we lead off with today?
We should lead off with me getting turned down for a job today.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Yay! Yeah, I interviewed for a job yesterday. The interview went really well, and the lady was really friendly. And then today I got an email that said that they're not hiring right now. And I was like, that totally contradicts everything you told me yesterday. But it wasn't like I'm really sorry, but we'll keep you in mind. It was like a good luck in what you're due in the future kind of thing. So it's definitely a kiss off, which is totally weird because I have a pretty good sense for interviews, and not to brag, but I usually do pretty well in interviews, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
bizarre.
That's
what I get for being confident.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shame. Damn you.
Shame on you.
I'll never have self-esteem again. I'm sorry.
Well, as you walked out, you probably shouldn't have said, yeah, I pretty much got that one wrapped up, that's in the bag. Wait till they can't hear you.
Yeah,
I probably should.
You probably shouldn't have smacked the interviewer on the ass either. So, clearly your fault.
Yeah, but you know, you learn.
Lesson learned.
I'm learning. I can do better in the next interview.
That's true. So what did you learn?
I don't know. I get high before I go to an interview next time? I don't know.
Yeah.
I did everything right.
I don't know. The thing that I've learned from this economy so far is...
be rich.
Yeah, have a trust fund and, you know, hopefully just be American to start off with. Because...
That's true, yeah.
Good fucking luck getting by without that. But, you know, you told me a little bit about your interviewer and I think she sounds like a bit of a passive-aggressive weirdo.
It's possible.
She might have personality disorder.
It's possible.
Yeah. So, bullet dodged.
Yeah, totally.
Good. Yeah.
I'm still on unemployment, baby. I got it made.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, I remember when we were interviewing at the company that I was just relatively recently working for, and they were hiring...
We'll just call them the fuck faces.
Right, exactly. Who keep calling me and emailing me for some reason. Like, we miss you. Immediate supervisor.
Is it a layoff or a breakup? I'm confused.
He wrote to me. I forgot to tell you this.
Can we still
Jordan.
Be friends?
Yeah.
He's like, I keep going over to your desk, but you're not there. I hate that. And then he wanted to talk about the Watchmen movie and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like...
You should call him Michael, like Michael Scott.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What's the best way to fire somebody but still remain friends afterwards?
Oh, yeah. God.
That's an exact lift from The Office.
Yeah,
he's totally. He's pulling a Michael Scott, like, yeah. Exactly.
So, okay, so we'll call him Michael. But good. That was all good. I really wrote. And I think I wrote
that's
something
still creepy enough.
Back, like, thanks, so... Yeah.
You don't have any articles of clothing of mine that you're sniffing right now.
Or, like, since you feel so bad, you don't have an extra, you know, salary to hang around, do you?
You don't have an extra job.
Like yours that's twice as mine.
Yeah.
But anywho.
Whatever. Suck it, Michael.
I was thinking about when we were interviewing people for the last position that mm-hmm. we filled. And there would be the most ridiculous shit that people would say. They didn't, well, I don't know. He was a little too clean cut, or he was a little too.
Oh,
God. He was wearing a pink shirt, and there was one guy who was like this like straight guy. He was completely
it's not about
qualified.
Your bachelor's degree at all.
No, he's
right.
Completely
it's about what color shirt you're wearing.
Qualified for the job and everything, and my boss said. Yeah, but he's straight. I don't think I want all that straight drama in this office. I was like,
straight drama. That's
I
awesome.
Know. And I was like, as opposed to gay drama. Anyway, so you know, you never know what it could be. It you, could wow. be the shirt that you wore.
It's
it could
true.
Be anything.
Maybe it was the shirt that
it's
I wore.
True. And in this economy, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
She, actually, yeah. Now that you mentioned Michael Scott, she did have kind of a Michael Scott moment that I'd forgotten about. She's talking about, you know, how the staff has great camaraderie, and I was like, oh, that's great. You know, they seem really friendly. They seem like they all get along when they're working together. And she's like, yeah, they're always getting together and having hangouts and stuff. But, you know, for some reason, that never includes me. I guess they just can't cross that line or whatever. And I was kind of like... Maybe that's why they're not inviting you. Sorry, I just, like, spit all over you.
That's all right. That's I've heard from previous podcasts. Yeah. I knew what to expect.
You knew you were in the splash zone?
Yeah.
And with the beer, it's kind of like extra.
I
extra
will
fun.
Most likely belch at some
awesome.
Point.
Awesome.
That's good.
Sweet.
So I won't hold it in. I'll let it. I'll
good.
Let it go.
Let it fly.
Well, you're Irish, right? So,
yeah.
Like, yeah. So. The Irish are so into belching.
Is that right?
I don't know.
I didn't know.
It's like racial stereotyping day, I think.
I think so. You're yes. You're just saying that because you're Scottish.
That's right. So I'm drunk and I'm cheap.
You're cheap
so
ass.
So who wants to buy me my next drink?
You're like, yeah, Irish people like to belch. They're gross.
You're so racist, Jordan. God.
I know. I'm an asshole. That's what I'd like to have more of in my life is imploding friendships.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
You know what I wish we had more of in the world? Menstrual cramps.
Hmm. You know what I wish we had more of in the world?
What?
Whimsical hippie pants.
Oh, God, no.
I want to read this section from this book I brought in honor of today's podcast called The Idler Book of Crap Jobs. And I found it's this very funny little book. I guess it's this magazine or this website, and they had a contest to see... who had the worst job, and people wrote in and sent descriptions of their job. And it's a really funny book. They compiled the top 100. And the worst job, according to them, is a phone sex operator.
Really?
Yeah. Which I would think, I mean, you're just talking to them. You don't have to see them. You don't have to experience bodily fluids.
Yeah.
And then, but number two, it's a North Sea ferry cabin cleaner. And I was a little confused too, but after reading the description, it's far, far worse.
It's pretty specific.
I'll read you a few excerpts here. He was a cleaner on a ferry service that takes truck drivers between Britain and Holland.
Oh. Was that classist?
The British freight drivers were fine and by and large continent. Their continental brethren, on the other hand, thought nothing of taking a shit in the other bed, then covering it over with the sheets as a nice surprise for the cabin crew in the morning. They used to wet the bed and move to another bed rather than walk the 6 paces to the toilet.
Wow.
They left their eye-watering Dutch animal porn in the rooms for us to find.
What?
They also made themselves sick in the effort to sober up from the dozen pints of ale and a curry consumed in the bar before they took their 38-tonners out on the public roads. But they wouldn't do in the bathroom where we could rinse it off with the shower. Oh no, they would chunder all over the room and all over the soft furnishings. They would even throw up in the bin, then hurl it all over the beds and carpet just to be bloody-minded arseholes.
Yep. Wow.
Wow.
But I think the worst let's see, he talks about like the worst day he had on this job. My deck supervisor, another cabin crew member, and I walked up the stairs to do the slightly roomier family cabins on the 10 deck. Our noses began to twitch on the 8 deck stairs. By 10 deck, the last of the passengers were scurrying past us, ashen faced, towards the car decks. And there was this smell. You know, that sickly smell you sometimes get in the butcher's shop? Smelt like that. Eventually, we narrowed the search down to one cabin. Even the 11 deck crew had come down to see what the unholy stench was about. The closer we got to cabin 1016, the more pungent and wretchsome the smell became. We opened the door and the wave of stench hit us like a freight train. Two of the 5 onlookers, including myself, threw up on the spot.
Oh my God.
Once I'd finished blowing my breakfast, I took in the scene before me. There was liquid shit everywhere. On the carpets, on all 4 of the beds, and inside them too. On the walls, on the curtains, bemusingly on the ceilings and windows. There was literally gallons of it. It looked like someone had got 3 pressure washers, one filled with diarrhea, one with puke, and one with something really horrible that was neither one nor the other, and then cut loose on the room. Bags of shopping and clothes lay all over the place, and one silver Nike Air Max trainer lay forlorn and alone on the floor, almost filled with shit.
Oh my God. Okay. Well,
and that was number 2. I think that should be number 1.
I think that should be number 1 too.
Yeah, I don't think you'd ever encounter that as a phone sex operator unless you lived with that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Or well, lady.
Maybe it. Maybe that's the worst number 1 is being married to
yeah.
that person.
That is pretty
yeah.
That's vile.
That's yeah. grim. That's grim.
I was going to talk about Mike's one day a week job, and it just pales in comparison.
I think it's better because it's somebody we know.
That's true. He mops jizz at a peep show one day a week.
But that's not awesome. All he does. Like, he knits and he
that's
watches.
That's true. He knits and he watches
High School Musical.
He watches High School Musical. He smokes a pipe, and he reads Agatha Christie.
Tell yeah. me it's a corncob pipe.
No, it's like a Sherlock Holmes pipe.
It'd be better if it were a corncob pipe.
Maybe. But, like, this way he can talk about his tobacconist.
Ah, yes.
Which he has. He has a tobacconist.
All men of virtue and distinguishment do.
Right, right. But he does occasionally come home and tell me about, like, you know, how he came into a booth and found, like, apparently a gallon of jizz on the seat.
What?
It's gross. It's those little moments that make
evidently
our marriage
there's
special.
Keep that magic there.
Oh yeah, that spark.
There's apparently there's a supplement called Ejaculoid, which you can buy, that increases the volume of your semen.
Really?
Yes, and I know this because the 3 months I worked in the Castro, I would walk by the men's supplement store, one of 50 in the Castro, by the way.
Right.
They're all about bodybuilding.
Yes.
Right.
And by they, I mean the gays. Yeah, they would have a big sign out front advertising, it said, got volume, Ejaculoid! And then, but it was the weirdest thing, because they had a really cute, like, golden retriever. And so you'd see this, like, disgusting sign be like, jizz gallons! And then you'd look inside, and there'd be this cute little dog like, hi, come pet me. It was really weird.
Oh, what? I know the store. I think that dog's been there, like, forever and ever. Something, yeah. Muscle Max or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the benefit to having, like, tons and tons of jizz? Like, what?
A big ego.
Is that something that...
It can't be anything else.
I've never been with a guy who's been like, sorry, baby, that was only a couple tablespoons. I'll do better next time. I'm just trying to... Like, that has never
it's
been
okay.
an issue.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah, I've never had to console anybody for that. I mean... I've dealt yeah. with the impotent, but that is not something that I've had to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a targeted market.
Is it just me? Are they like non-ejaculating buckets because I'm not sexy enough?
No, they just need to take Ejaculoid. It's not your
okay.
fault.
Yeah. By the way, hello, Mom.
sorry about this. Drinking beer on a weekday afternoon talking about jizz.
Yeah.
That's what America's all about.
Oh, boy.
I'm blushing. Are you?
No, not really. Just saying.
So.
Nice.
So, Jesus Christ.
But the thing I was originally going to look at, which mm-hmm. I totally got sidetracked, was this one job that I told you about. It's in the book of crap jobs. It's number 44. But I think it sounds pretty sweet, because basically this guy got a job through a temp agency as a direct debit activator. So I guess they would get little gray slips, and you have to input the direct debit information into the computer. So I don't know if it's computerized in the first place, why you need a little gray slip. But anyway, this person got this mind-numbingly boring job just inputting these gray slips all day. But the person that signed the time card for the temp agency worked in a different building, and nobody cared if he showed up or whatever. So nice. He would just go, and I mean, it wasn't, it says here it was £5 an hour. I mean, it's like $7, $8 yeah. an hour. It's not great, but...
But you could have another job.
Yeah, it's a, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
It said, I came in late and went straight for a mid-morning nap on the empty top floor. After a two-hour lunch at the pub or smoking joints in the park, it was time for mid-afternoon football in the empty canteen with another temp. Then it was time to go home. One afternoon, I came back from lunch so drunk on vodka, I passed out at my desk for 3 hours. No one noticed.
Oh, my God. That's the best job.
I know. Yeah. That's a sweet-ass job. Yeah.
It doesn't belong in that book.
No. So shame on you for submitting.
Yeah.
You anonymous
grow
debit,
up.
Direct debit activator.
Yeah, you big baby.
So why don't we all talk about our worst jobs ever?
Yes, I was going to suggest that right after we get another beer.
Okay.
All right. You're slow. You got to...
I know. I'm broke.
You got to hurry up. Okay, it's time for round two. One more time.
All right.
Round two.
Woo!
Ah.
Shattering stereotypes.
Yes.
Ladies can be drunk slobs, too.
Boorish drunk slobs.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, worst job you
worst
ever had.
Worst job ever.
Who wants to go first?
Okay, can I just mention that we all have the same shoes on?
We do.
All right, so who wants to tell about their worst job first?
I think Erica did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You've been volunteering.
It must have been my whimsical pants speaking for me.
It must have been.
Well, I don't know that this was the worst job I've ever had, because really, how can you judge that objectively? You know, it's like each horrible job has separate aspects that cannot be compared to other horrible jobs. But I will tell you about one funny, funny job I had, which was horrible in a way. And, no, Jen, you should sit closer, because Mike's not going to talk. He's just going to sit and glare at us.
Huh? Yeah.
We can pause it.
We can edit it out. Coming to the sugar mama for money. Hey, how come he's asking you for money? He's got a job.
He bought me a couple of drinks yesterday.
Whatever.
And it's
his
getting...
job. He's your husband. How else is he going to have sex?
I'd like to say that he didn't last night, but...
Whoa. Hi, Jordan's mom.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm married. I'm allowed to have sex now.
The long years.
For
children.
You're not supposed to have sex now. I thought it was... I got it backwards, apparently.
This was... the year after I graduated from college, and I was involved in a program called BUNAC, and they'll give you a 6-month work permit to go live and work in the UK, and I think you can live in Australia for 4 months. They have a New Zealand program. It's, you know, really crazy. So Pranjal and I went over to Britain and enrolled in a temp agency. One day they sent me to which is it's not as funny or exciting as it sounds. Basically, it's an institution that certifies general practitioners to specialize in obstetricians and gynecology. So, it was really boring. My boss hated women, and especially hated pregnant women, which was so ironic. I had various office members who hated immigrants, They hated the one black woman in the office. Yeah, it was horrible. Ugh. And there was, you know, lots of, you know, anytime I got a photocopying job, it would be, you know, I would stop to read and it would all be about, like, you know, uterine polyps and cysts and discharge and really gross stuff like that. It would have been a funny job if everybody there didn't take it so seriously. And
hadn't been so racist or
misogynistic. And I remember, actually, there was one day when apparently, you know, all these different royal institutions have different royal patrons. So the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecology, their patron is Princess Anne. And one day Princess Anne actually came to the office. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, this is, I wasn't excited, but I was like, oh, this is a novelty. I'll get to see a member of the royal family. You know, it'll be a story to tell the grandkids that I'll never have. And I forget exactly how this transpired, but it was me. And there was a temp from New Zealand working with me and a temp from South Africa working with me. And it was like they took the three of us, like the dirty foreigners, and like stuck us in a room when Princess Anne came, and like all the staff were there and like, oh, like kissing her royal ass and everything. And like the foreigners were like staring at her from a window in this room. I don't even know why we ended up there, but it was very deliberate. Like, you know, you guys aren't going to see Princess Anne because you're not British citizens. You're not worthy.
My God.
Yeah, so that was probably not the worst job I've ever had, but it's certainly the most unusual and the one that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, and the dirty, nasty guy who hated women and the woman who hated foreigners and who always took 4-day weekends to Paris, shopping trips. Yeah. And then, like, the 3-day weeks that she was around, she'd always complain about how much work she had. they were having an affair. They would disappear for, like, half an hour every morning and half an hour every afternoon. And it was disgusting because they were, like, the most hideous people on earth. I mean, my first day there, you know how, like, your first day anywhere, whether you're a temp or whether you're actually working there, they're really nice to you and they make it seem like it's not horrible to work there, which is a terrible lie because it totally is. But they were, like, showing me around and was very proud and giving me the tour. And he showed me this framed photo of some ceremony they'd had in, like, the 70s when, you know, Queen Elizabeth herself showed up. And he points to this man wearing this very official-looking sash and a medal on his lapel and everything in his tuxedo. And he says, you know, in this, like, hushed tone of awe and wonder, like, and that's the Queen's gynecologist. And I was, and of course, you know, I acted suitably impressed. I said, oh, really? And in my mind, the first thing I thought of was, he's seen Elizabeth Regina's vagina. And that was, so there's my job story, and I'm now looking forward with great anticipation to both of you.
Oh, do you have one in mind?
Or? Yeah, I don't know if mine measures up. I don't have royalty. I don't have anything like that. Well,
Have a manatee and blue eyeshadow.
I mean, I've had like crappy jobs, and the one I had originally thought of was, sort of right out of high school, I wanted to go to school for social work, and I was taking courses and stuff, and I started work at a group home with developmentally disabled, and I ended up, like, it was, you know, working like long hours, and I had, like, you know, we had 6 clients and I would have to stay there overnight and all this stuff. And and then I got transferred over to, like, the house that nobody wanted to go to. And it sort of related to the second worst job in the fantastic jobs thing. Because we had a client there who was, you know, sort of nicknamed Picasso. Because if he got, you know, sort of pissed off, so to speak, at anything, he would paint the walls with his own feces. And this was, like, a weekly thing. Also, at the same time, I had the manager of this house, and I was like 18, 19 years old, And, you know, and not, and my mom had, you know, moved away, and I was kind of like alone in the world. And yeah. And this guy was totally sexually harassing me every single day. And I was like so uncomfortable, but didn't, had no idea like what to right. do about it. Until finally, like the regional manager person was like, wait, what's happening? And I'm like, oh yeah, he, you know, makes me stay till 11 and, you know, and
oh my
he
God.
Like, but that's not the worst job. The worst job, oh. I think, I mean, see, that one was actually kind of a good job because I loved the clients uh-huh. and I actually really loved the work, even yeah. though it was really hard.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it could be really fun and everything, but yeah. my worst job, I think, was probably at Nordstrom.
Oh, boy.
Soul killing. Just
oh, yeah. Customer
soul
service.
Soul killing. Rich people. I mean, you know, and then it sort of, like, it became, you know, kind of a, like, I've always had jobs now where I've sort of been like servant to the ultra wealthy
yeah.
and it sucks. It's soul killing.
So hear
you. I'm glad to not be doing that anymore. So
eat the rich.
Yeah, I would say yeah. Nordstrom, and then also another job. Which was even like we had clients like
did you
Steve.
Have to give golden showers?
No, I know it sounds bad. I don't know
it
why they named their
bad.
Company.
Golden massage parlor.
I was like, do they know what this means? But they didn't, because they're like, you know, old people from Connecticut
aww.
Who started it, and then it came this big corporate beast, and our clients were like Steve Jobs, and well, I did get to
so
meet,
he,
like,
he's into water sports?
Yeah. I did get to meet Chris Isaac, which was
ooh,
so,
hubba hubba.
I know, not cool at all. but I met several celebrities at that job, which is
nice.
But none of them cool at all. But
dear.
I know where Steve Jobs lives.
Oh.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go camp out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure his property is huge. It'll
no,
take him weeks to find us.
No, it's surprisingly modest. You
oh,
would
okay.
be you would be shocked. It's
well,
actually
for him.
Yeah.
Maybe he can give a little money to me.
Yeah, yeah. At least
and me and you.
Yeah, at least like 8 or whatever years
totally.
Ago it was, but you know, I don't know. It's all this iPod madness. Maybe he's
yeah, really?
Maybe he's upgraded. So that's it. Not as great as yours. See, I said. I knew.
Oh. So I guess it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know. I had a little bit of indecision. My very first job was as a barista at a snobby little cafe and coffee place in the wealthiest business tower in Edmonton. So I was 17. I just graduated from high school. And everybody thought that I was a high school dropout and treated me accordingly. And then
was it
finally,
a second cup?
No, it wasn't a train. It was actually like
okay.
it was a nice little independent place. Thank
all I know
God.
About is second cup and
that's,
Tim Hortons.
That's right. That's
well, how
right.
How should
partially
a high school
from...
dropout be treated?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
True.
Those
there's
high
that
school,
point too.
Those
served,
high school dropouts
served me right. But anyway, so I had to take a year off after high school before going to university because I had crooked teeth and I had to get braces. And when you play the French horn,
oh yeah,
you cannot do that at a professional level.
I was about to give
level.
You some shit. I'm like, what? You just skip college because
no.
you have braces? And then I was like, oh right,
yeah,
the instrument.
I did because the instrument.
I'm sorry.
That I play
I'm sorry.
Heavily upon my teeth.
I'm a judgmental bitch. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hope you feel bad. Anyway, so
appropriately.
So I worked there for a year and got paid $5 an hour and told
awesome.
Every single day that I was not pulling my weight. Despite
wow.
the fact that I got there at 7 o'clock every morning, worked till 5.
Despite the fact that you're 18.
17.
17.
And
yeah.
I busted my ass
yeah.
for this family who drove a Lexus SUV and lived out in the suburbs and whose kids who were my age never worked a day in their fucking
course,
lives.
Of course.
So... there was that, and then, you know, on top of that, that
they'll go to business school to learn how to manage the coffee shop, but
right.
they'll never work there.
Right. But and the worst thing about this job, this isn't my worst job, but the worst thing about this job was that it was run by a husband and wife, and they were pretty nice people, if somewhat exploitive. But the husband was like this, like he was borderline retarded. I like, that is a bad word, and I know, but he was. Like, he was really a stupid, stupid man. And the wife was, you know, this very sharp, very, you know, quick woman who had built this business from the ground up and who had had success and who, like, you know, she was a penny pinching miser, but she was, you know, she's a nice and intelligent woman. And so this guy would kind of putz around and fuck. They were an East Indian couple who were ethnically like Indian, but who were actually both born and raised in South Africa.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was kind of a, you know, cultural thing, that he really was supposed to be seen as having a hand in the business, whereas mm-hmm. really, ideally, he would have stayed home and watched soap operas because he was so confident. So he basically would come in, putz around, occasionally walk out from inside the coffee shop and into the kind of the mall or uh-huh. concourse area, and try and tell people walking by to come in, which would invariably scare them.
Harvard Business Law School.
Yeah, and then the other thing that he was in charge of was the music. So it was 1998, uh-huh. and it was a coffee place, and it had a business clientele, so we had pretty limited range of appropriate right. music. But the other girl and I who worked there, we brought in, you know, some Tragically Hip, which yeah. none of you Americans will know about. And like, we had some Sarah McLachlan and like, you know, it was kind of lame stuff.
Yeah,
but like,
I know the late 90s stuff you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but like the Tragically Hip, and I think we had a Wallflower CD, and like it was not good, but it was right. certainly not worst case scenario, because
yeah.
when the husband would come in with his music, he brought Yanni. He brought
oh,
Yanni
no!
CDs, and he would play Yanni and Michael
oh,
Bolton.
God.
So I listened to something like
Yanni,
probably 25 hours of Yanni and Michael Bolton a week when
wow.
I was working this job. And it wasn't the worst job that I ever had. The
wow.
worst job that I ever had was, at least at this job, when I told everybody that I got admitted to this like serious music school, everybody started treating me differently.
What?
So that was nice, but the worst
like
job I ever
good
had.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. The worst job I ever had was actually working at a law firm, a small legal aid law firm, and I was hired as a law student in my last year of law school, and it seemed like my dream job. I was working for these two women who were like, we don't buy into the whole lawyer bullshit thing. We're just here to help people and like. Blah, blah, blah. And it turned out to be the most dysfunctional, fucked up workplace in the entire world. And so as a third year law student, I ended up basically taking over this woman's caseload. And
oh,
she got me to
God.
Write all of her documents for extremely important cases that were receiving nationwide media coverage, for which I was no way qualified to do. Even though I'm brilliant and whatever else. She got me to go to court when it was technically illegal for me to go to court and represent her clients, because I was a student and not a lawyer. And she had her extremely dysfunctional secretary or legal assistant, even though he had no legal assistant or legal training whatsoever, go to court for her all the time. And he used to try and snake assignments for me and write things by himself instead of letting me write them. So
wow.
instead of letting the person who's not qualified but at least has legal training do the work, he was trying to do it himself with absolutely zero post-high school education whatsoever. So a lot of our
Yikes.
Clients went to jail.
Oh,
and,
man.
Wow.
That's pretty bad. Okay,
yeah.
I think you
did. Yeah.
But I haven't even got to the
yeah,
best part.
I never worked at a job that actually sent people.
Yeah, well, the best one was we were a criminal law firm, and we took on one client who, I don't know why we took him on. He'd been convicted of, like, serious fraud and embezzlement of, like, a couple $1 million.
Oh, my God.
And he, like, was the sleaziest motherfucker in the entire world. And I used to have to go visit him in jail and basically bullshit him. Like, my boss would be like, okay, you have to go visit this guy. He's calling me 100 times a day, and you just need to, like, tell him that we're doing stuff on his case. And I'm like, are we doing stuff on his case? And she'd be like,
no.
Sort of. So I'd go in, and this guy would, like, he'd show up in the visiting room at the jail with, like, 40 pages of handwritten notes about everything
oh,
that had
right.
happened in the last
oh, sure.
six
mm.
days since
yeah.
someone came and visited him. And he'd go
so
through
So is this
them.
Like the jail version of blogging?
I guess. But he was convinced that he was innocent, and
went for a crap. Gonna take a shower later.
No,
LOL.
it was more like everybody is out to get me. This person put their pen down facing 45 degrees this way, and it was pointing almost at me, and so I'm convinced that they're gonna shank me. And I'd be like, well, his first name. I'd be like, most of the people here are like murderers and rapists, and like the people that they put in protective custody are like the people that are, you know, fuck children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you stole some money, but I think you're kind of low on the radar. And he'd be like,
yeah.
No. That person, this person, like this gang, this, they're all out to get me. And, so eventually I got really sick of it, and I tried to talk to her, and I said, look, I'm not comfortable going to court for you. I'm not comfortable doing illegal things for you.
I'm not comfortable breaking the law.
Yeah, and she didn't really listen, so eventually I just stopped going. And that was that. So.
Nice.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about, like, you know, you're like, ooh, good progressive law firm, whatever. And
she was a scumbag.
Yeah, I remember my mom went to work for this, like, my mom's, like, gets a little into, like, the new agey stuff.
Sure.
Not too much, because I, like, try to, you know, pull the reins in a little bit, like, you know, but she went to work for...
No, Mom, you can't wear whimsical pants today.
Exactly. So, but she went to work for this one guy who she'd read his books and, you know, and he was a total selfish asshole who, you know, who espoused all this, you know, togetherness and, you know, and all this, you know, new age bullshit. And, she sort of learned her lesson a little bit.
Yeah. I learned mine. I'm never going to do good for anybody ever again.
I know, exactly. So you're out for yourself, and...
Fuck all y'all.
Yeah, exactly. I would step on you to, like, you know, get to where I was.
Yeah, you're
going.
Short. I would totally step on you. And Erica can step on both of us.
That's right. That is right.
So...
You know, I kind of hate to say it, but all the women that I worked for have been really shitty people, and I think it's related to I don't think it's a reflection on, you know, women as bosses so much as a reflection on the kind of people who tend to be bosses.
Yeah.
And I remember
assholes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I remember, and for the life of me, I can't find it. And you know, if anybody, you know, who listens to our podcast or anything, like, has a research job or, you know, is good at that kind of thing, if they could find that article for me and send it to me, I would love them forever. It was an article on The Guardian, the British Guardian, like, probably in 2005, early 2005, about how they'd done this study on people who are in managerial positions in large firms, and how, like, 90% of them, fit at least one description of, like, mental illness. In terms of, like, sociopath or psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, not caring about the consequences of their... Nice! Score.
Sorry.
No.
I didn't think you wanted me to hold it in. So
no, I did not. That was a good call.
Class all the way.
That was a good call, man. But yeah, they're, you know, in terms of, like, not caring about the consequences of their actions, not caring about how it affects other people, you know, all those other classic symptoms of sociopathy and psychopathy is attributable to, like, 90% of bosses.
Well,
I think that explains so fucking much.
Yeah,
I think it does. But there's also there's that documentary, The Corporation. Talked about
totally.
They talked about a similar thing. They took the diagnostic criteria from the DSM-4, which is the I can't remember what DSM stands for, but it's basically the benchmark for all mental illness diagnoses.
It was the World Health Organization.
Yeah,
that
it's
kind
like
of standard. Thing.
Yeah, it's the standard everywhere.
Yeah,
And they so they took all of the. So, or they took a bunch of the points that that go up to making psychopathy or psychopaths, and they lined up like corporate behavior, like desirable corporate behavior, not so much of the people in the corporations, but
right, how
the
corporation itself acts
in the business world. And right.
Well, I think the not to interrupt, but the premise was that
you're totally interrupting.
Fuck you! Fuck you! The premise was that the corporations are seen as people by the global, the American court system, but also by many global courts because of some 19th century court case that established corporations as people.
Right.
So they're saying if corporations are actual people,
what kind of people are they? This is how they behave. Yes. So they basically determined that if corporations are in fact people, they are, you know, by and large, they are psychopaths.
Right.
Yeah.
And extremely dangerous people. And hey, guess what?
Chicken butt. Guess why? Chicken thigh.
Oh, not vegan.
If it's still a living chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's just kind of hanging out, having fun.
Fine.
I wish we had a chicken right now.
I'd like
chickens
a chicken.
Are cool.
Yeah, chickens are cool.
There's a drawing of one up there.
Yeah.
I think that that's a cockfighting
kind of banner. Though. Yeah, that's too bad.
But
also flamingos.
Yeah, there's not
flamingos
chickens,
up there. Yes. Still cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's also a road sign for Tracy, which is where MC Hammer lives.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
He has some very nice sparkly leggings.
Yes, he does. He's adorable.
He is.
Love that guy.
What the hell were we talking about? We were talking about the corporation.
We're talking about the corporation.
The corporation.
Yes.
We get sidetracked so easily.
But anyway, so what I was saying is maybe having psychopaths run your entire financial world isn't such a good idea because, well, look at where
we are. It could be, possibly. Yeah. I also wanted to note, I was making all these notes while you were writing. I felt like a lawyer myself.
That's all that we do.
Yes. I'm going to make notes while the opposition has their opening arguments.
Actually,
and then I'm going to lean over and whisper in your ear like I have something important to say every 5 minutes or so.
I've done that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, but the thing I was going to say is on a note to your guy bringing in Yanni and Michael Bolton.
Yes, yes.
I did, there was a year and a half where I worked for a fashion designer, and all the seamstresses would listen to this soft rock radio station, which touted itself as the number one workplace radio station in Sonoma County, which is not much of an accomplishment. But it got to the point where, like, every 2 weeks they would change their, you know, they would like, pre-record sets of songs, right? So it'd be, like, Celine Dion, followed by Sarah McLachlan, followed by The Police, followed by, you know, Genesis or what, you know. So it'd be, like, a 15-minute block of music. And it would get to the point where every 2 weeks they would, like, change them. And I would recognize the pattern. Or I'm like, oh, right,
oh
Sarah McLachlan's going to be on next. Oh, right, you know.
I would kill
Kenny
myself.
Kenny G's going to be on next.
I would literally kill myself.
8 hours a day of that kind of music.
Yeah.
And, you know, towards, like, after the first week, knowing what song is going to be next, that was hell.
Yeah.
That was hell. And the only good part about it was sometimes they played something like Blondie or,
right.
you know, something that could easily fit into both the classic easy rock, you know, and also the good song genre.
Right.
So, yeah, that was...
Two genres that hardly ever meet.
Yes. So that was a really bad workplace experience I had, was having to listen to KZ. And sometimes I would, like, sneak in and change the radio station to, like, jazz or, you know, KPFA, which is, like, the total, like, you know, hippie progressive station in Berkeley.
Right.
But after, like, half a day, I would always go back to KZ. And, man,
man,
it was, like, the musical equivalent of an Ann Getty's portrait.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Wow.
That's, yeah. That's my summation.
Yeah, if you could see my face. It's not good.
Yeah, mine is also not
good. Yeah, no, I get that.
Sorry.
Well, Nate actually has a sort of similar, like, he emails me sometimes during the day when he's, because he's still employed.
Whatever. Sell out.
So, but he has this guy, like, I think it's specifically on, like, Fridays or something, that this guy will listen from his cubicle. He will listen to the same Miley Cyrus song.
What? How old is this
over,
man?
Like in his 30s.
Scandalous.
I know. And he's like, oh my God, it's on again and again and again. I can't take it. I'm going to smash his computer. And, you know, and then, what's her name? Oh my God. Butterfly. Oh, what the hell
is Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey. Yeah. And then the same, like, Mariah Carey song over and over until Nate wants to. I'm like, Nate, he has it in for you. He has it in.
And
what
then, the hell?
And then also, like, is
Mariah
he, is he retarded? Like, I, you know, like, not in a bit. And Nate's like, no, he's not. And he's a nice guy. And I don't understand what it
but
is.
Can't Nate just do the passive-aggressive thing and put on Iron Maiden?
Well, that's what I said. I was like, yeah. I was like,
or
well, put on Electric Wizard.
Put on,
yeah, totally.
Put on some just, Burzum or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah. And he's like, oh, I can't. I don't have speakers. And, oh, it's, you know, anyway, he's just like, and he'll email me again. He's like, oh, my God, I am in hell. Seriously, get me out of here.
We should start, you know what we should do here on the Cosmopolitan Hour? We should solicit some donations so that we can buy Nate some computer speakers so that he can play Slayer's Reign in Blood at work.
You know what? I have some computer speakers at home. He can have them.
Oh, awesome. You know, and actually, come to think of it, the computer speakers that I left at work are mine. I left them. I know.
Well, now it's really, truly, well and truly a breakup. You know, you've got the people. I miss you.
I have to come get my speakers.
I have to come get my stuff. Are you going to be there?
Well,
I'll leave the key under the door when I'm done. Just don't be there when I come by.
Well, I went to get my stuff on Sunday evening and took all my stuff except for my speakers, which I forgot.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah, and my boss called me this morning, and he was like, the owner of the company called me. He's like, oh, it looks like you came by this weekend. If there's anything I can do, please let me know.
And yeah, give me my fucking job back, cock munch.
I called him and I said,
that pisses me off on your behalf.
That pissed me off already today on her behalf. Yes.
I want to go punch this guy in the face. Like, oh, is there anything else we could do?
I know.
Oh, yeah, let us know. We miss you.
Oh, no. At the, when
don't try to be a friend,
when it first happened, he kept hugging me and hugging me and hugging me, and I was like, and then finally he said, should I leave you alone? I went, yes.
Fuck off.
And I like didn't mean to do that, but I was just like, Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make you feel better about this. How many times are you going to fucking hug me?
You know what? Yeah, really. Maybe you should hire us to relate to them on your behalf. So every like just forward all the emails.
Dear cock munch.
Yeah. Or maybe you don't need to. And
the finale will be an interpretive dance in the lobby of business.
Which reminds me, the other thing I left at work was the subscription to the Cosmopolitan Hour on my iTunes. I'll have to have somebody that.
Maybe some lucky person will come along. Yeah, and while they're erasing that, I know you must have stolen something. Tell us the good stuff that you stole.
Oh, God. Nothing good. Damn. Although, Nate came with me, and he, like, immediately went to the bathroom and, like, toilet paper and paper towel.
Yes!
Also, I...
they're going to be sorry now.
I know. Yeah. I ran... Okay. See, this is how lame I am. I ran some envelopes from there there through the postage machine.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Excellent.
Though. Yeah.
Stamps also, are pain.
Also, I printed out some shipping labels to people I'm sending stuff
to. Awesome. Good job. Good job.
White collar crime, folks.
My favorite prank that I read about, this was in Temp Slave magazine, or I should say the best of Temp Slave, like, little anthology edition. The best thing to do is to take, like, at least a ream of paper, maybe three reams if you have time. put a pen, on the glass surface of the photocopier and make, you know, three reams worth of photocopies of the pen.
Oh.
And then just kind of, like, inconspicuously put them in the paper trays of different copiers. And they will think, when the copies start coming out with pens on it, they'll think that there's a pen stuck in the copy machine and spend hundreds of dollars trying to get it fixed.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Why didn't I talk to you before I was laid off?
I don't know.
Oh, because I didn't know. That's right. They gave me no notice.
That's right. That's funny about layoffs.
I know.
Yeah.
3 days, I think we decided that it was.
Yeah, you got 3 days severance.
Yeah.
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 Yep. You should sue their asses.
You should, I think.
Yes, you heard that correctly. We do not know this man, nor do we know his phone number or if he has a girlfriend.
Yeah, well.
I stole some letterhead. That was actually my mom's idea. She was like, you should take some letterhead so you can write your own recommendation since you've been forging your boss's signature for 2 years. And I was like, that's actually a good idea. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, I sold countless color copies.
Yeah.
Countless drinks.
I didn't actually really steal anything, but when I left the record store, which was my last major job, we had a habit there of you know, Saturday night crew just locking the doors and then hanging out in the record store and drinking until 3 in the morning. So. We were kind of doing that on one of my last shifts, and the assistant manager was like, dude, you've worked so hard while you've been here. You've done, like, really good work. They haven't been paying you like dick. They've been paying you like nothing. He's like, here, just take some records. And he gave me, like, $400 worth of records.
Whoa! $400 worth? That's not bad.
So, and I didn't,
you made it sound all modest. You're like, oh.
Well, I didn't steal. He gave them to me, so it wasn't technically stealing, but
it was still awesome.
It was a really good severance.
Yeah, in my mind, that toilet paper and paper towel that was given to me too.
Oh,
that
was given to you,
and that was $400 worth.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That was the premium, like, quilted shit, right?
No.
Oh,
what?
Lame.
Aim higher.
I know. Yeah. Well, need to be recycled.
Okay, that's good. Okay. That's right, because people who are actually, let's have an environmental divergence here.
Yeah.
People who are, who only use, like, super ultra high quality, like, quilted toilet paper and paper towels are ruining the earth. That's, like, a major, there have been a couple articles lately that have said that is, like, a major reason for deforestation, and it's a major thing clogging up, like, landfills and sewers and things like that. And I have to say to the listeners of the Cosmopolitan Hour, if you're too good for recycled, you're too good for the Cosmopolitan Hour. So switch.
That's on your way, top hat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, it's like, it's your ass.
What? Listen to something else while polishing your monocle from now on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I have to say,
your Hummer.
I have to say that you know, I think that's a very valid point. But there are some truly atrocious brands of toilet paper in Hong Kong and China that
will give you
disintegrate. Well, that too, but will disintegrate, like, you know, on your hands.
That's bad.
And it's like rubbing a board on yourself. There are some, and, you know, people are like, it's only 50 cents for 6 rolls. And I'm like, well, there's a reason for that.
That's true.
But yeah, we don't have those kind of torture devices here. So,
no,
you know what?
I like the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
It's fine. And I don't know, those commercials with that stupid cartoon bear, like the mom bear.
Oh, those always creep me out.
I hate those.
You know, I finally figured out that
bears
commercial.
Don't wipe their asses.
It's actually kind of funny. It's,
do tell.
I think it's it's after 2 beers and nothing to eat today. I think that it's, does a bear shit in the woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he uses whatever fucking toilet paper. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like a play on that joke.
I thought it was, does the Pope shit in the woods?
I thought it was, does the, so, does the, does the, does the, does the,
does the, does the, you know, a bear's, like, Catholic and does the Pope shit.
No, like, yeah, yes, sure, whatever.
I'm confusing you.
I know.
I'm running circles around you.
Yes, it's true.
Catholicism confuses me too.
But yeah. But Nate and I were just talking about those bears, and he was remarking that they were red bears, and he was like, why are they red? What's up with the red bears?
Because they've been irritated by inferior brands of toilet paper.
Oh, I know.
Right.
That is absolutely
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've got scabies.
So,
yeah. They've got the mange.
Right.
There's nothing toilet paper can do about that, though.
So anyway, I thought
it's kind of incidental.
I thought it was a play on the term doesn't
probably
bear
is
shit in the woods.
Yeah,
but the, which is actually kind of funny to me. But
yeah, that's kind of funny.
But at the same time, the phrase isn't "does a bear wipe its ass with toilet paper." I don't think toilet paper is involved in that equation.
No, I
know. The bear shits in the woods, but he doesn't use toilet paper.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But in our, you know, in our like ultra super clean society,
true,
we want to believe that bears use toilet paper when
that's
they
true
shit in the woods.
And
that's,
they're really that's cute true and cuddly, and they won't maul your face off.
Right.
If you see
right
them.
Exactly.
Right. And yeah.
Whatever. Sorry.
Oh, so okay. That's okay. There's nothing unnecessary on the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, no.
Something in, to wrap up our job rant. We did talk about the good things that we've stolen over the years.
Yeah.
What's the best revenge you've ever taken? Or, you know, if I know revenge is sometimes not easily acted out. What's the best revenge you've ever dreamed of taking?
Oh.
Well, you know, you gotta calm your freak flag.
Well, I dreamed about reporting my old lawyer boss to the
oh, nice
to the Bar Association.
That's good.
But
that's
I
good
didn't. That. She's actually been reported before.
Oh, really? Well, that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
I can't choose
so,
that.
I wish like that I could think of something better, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I've had like major revenge fantasies, but I can't think of anything at the moment. I think you should tell me yours, and then maybe I'll be able to.
I had an extremely detailed and well thought out revenge fantasy, and that's probably disturbing more than anything, but I put this much thought into it. It was when I was working in Hong Kong, and I worked for 4 months for a post-secondary school where I was teaching, and
Jesus fucking Christ, these guys are irritating. My story's stupid. You don't want to hear it. We're skipping to the end.
It kind of seems like we're getting to that time, and the
probably
decibel level is rising
yes,
to that level.
Exactly.
That we should go have another drink.
You should.
Off the record.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah, because it's about to get real up in this shit.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening to this very special episode.
Thanks to Jennifer for coming along
and
bringing her hilarious ass to our broadcast.
I just waved at the microphone, just so you know.
Oh, good, good. Thanks for filling us in. This is narration for the visually impaired.
Yes, yes. Perhaps a new career move.
Yes.
Lord. There you go. So, signing off. See you.
We'll do an empty glass toast. How's that?
Okay.
All right.